you have if you've been fighting it after the hearing examiner recommended.
Well, we have.
But I didn't know that.
We have.
And I'm not charged with things I don't know about, and a whole lot happens over there I don't know a thing in the world about, and very much I never heard of the Houston thing until it was all over. I was back, and I started trying to inquire and find out about it, and I found out that you'd called a different man on the staff that hadn't had a damn thing to do with it, and told him about it, and he'd put it in his hip pocket thinking, I guess it's a personal matter. I don't know why he didn't tell me. But in any event, I believe that, that sometimes that maybe Treasury's judgment could be on the banking matter as good as Harvard's, and I believe it's conceivable Interstate Commerce Commission could know much about a truck line or a rail line as some lawyer in the antitrust division. I know it's hard for you lawyers over there to agree to that, but
I agree with that.
I've had some very bitter experiences out of that Justice Department, and I'm inclined to be a kind of a defendant's counsel, because I know I've been treated unfairly and unjustly. And I think that if I were in Stuart Saunders' place, I'd feel like hell. If I had a memorandum, the Attorney General said, now, I fought hell out of you, and it's going to come up here now to this interstate commerce procedure. But if you win there, I think that you won your case, and we won't bother you. That's my judgment. And of course, you're going to say, unless there are unforeseen circumstances, you've got to protect yourself every way you can. But that's what he said. Then Katzenbach came along, and I was under the impression, now maybe I don't understand, that Katzenbach felt that we had some kind of an obligation here.
No, sir,
that's wrong.
I just left him in Joe's office the last 30 minutes, and he agreed that we have to go to court. But the very first thing I asked him when I heard about this was whether we had any obligation, and he said no. He said he would feel differently if we were attacking it on the merits, but that he would feel we have to go forward. Now, when he told me that, I went forward. We have, first of all, the solid position of the antitrust division.
Oh, I would know that. You'll have it blindly on damn near anything, I believe, but go ahead.
Solid position of the Solicitor General's office, and we have the...
That just adds up, Ramsey, to a bunch of lawyers and the final analysis.
Friday's our deadline, and we have a galley proof back to the printer with our brief all printed out. The press is ready to roll Friday morning.
Well, that's a mighty poor reason though, for doing something you oughtn't to be doing. The question is, should it be done? Ought it be done?
I agree with that.
I think if you don't mind, I wish that, well, I guess with it pending the court, that would be improper. But I just don't know what to do. You know how I feel about it, I've told you.
I do, sir, and I'm very sorry.
I don't know why I always get these things the night before.
Well,
let's try to watch these hot ones like Houston and this one. I called you before Houston's even finished and told you my views there.
You called me in April, and I remembered it. I never got it, and I worked on it as effectively as I knew how.
Well, we haven't been effective enough with that fella, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
And we're not near as effective as Bobby was in the same illustration. You knew that, didn't you?
I knew about 64 when you...
Yes, sir. And they just said it couldn't be, and Albert just went down there and said it's going to be, and he said, you betcha, it'll be done. Now, by God, I want to be able to be that effective if I want to be. And so we just have to learn how to do it. And if I think something's right, I want to be able to do what I think's right without some fella forcing me, because it's the last night to do something that I think is wrong. Now, I think this is wrong. And I don't know what to do about it because I'm not a lawyer and I don't know the procedures and I don't know what you're saying or doing. I have the impression that the government, the Lyndon Johnson administration said to these people, we'll leave this up to interstate commerce. And they wanted interstate commerce, and now we say we're going to leave it up to court, but we're going to give them hell.
Well, if we could never take that position publicly for for any number of reasons. We'd have to say that it's all if we said it's this. We didn't.
You have to do what?
They would have to say that it's all ICC matters.
I think it's pretty general. I would like to have a look at the policy on these matters. I don't like to superimpose the judgment of some jerk lawyer over there for people who deal in these things every day. I don't want that lawyer legal judgment to be the superior to the President of the United States. I just don't think it ought to. Who the hell is Turner? Why, what special qualifications equip him to be Mr. God in these things? If the Treasury Department says that we think this is all right and we are ready to go with it, and the President says that's what he wants done, that's his judgment, well, who the hell is this little jerk from Boston to come down and say to hell with all of it? What kind of a government we got? What good does it do the people to elect somebody if they can't make their will known? And when you take out 6 months' notice in advance and warn you and tell you and explain it and say, now, for God's sakes, wake up, don't go to sleep, pull some sentries here, watch this, and then, by God, the next thing I know about it, and now I wake up somebody over on my own staff, tell them to watch it, and both of you let it get by. And because he is. Well, I don't know. I could understand when Bobby was Attorney General. But when he said something, I got he could put it through. When Albert went in there and told him this is going to be done and this is change, and he said that will be. I saw the same thing happen with the merger of Ford and Philco at Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, it kind of directed the merger from the background. But I see these things can be done. And I don't like to just be caught every time after it's over with. Marvin comes in after I'm in Korea someplace and said, oh, yeah, I didn't know, he just called me. But the man who's handling it was just short-circuited and eliminated from the play. He was just taken out of it, and of course it's too damn late then. And I hope the district court throws you right out on your butt, and then I hope that ends it. And I sure want it to if they do that.
Well, I'd like to see it ended that way too. I think we had a real problem on that too. This would mean that the biggest bank in every city in the country could pick up one small bank.
Might be and ought to if they need to be. There's no damn reason why we got to go from Houston to Dallas to borrow our money. And until you got a bank there big enough to handle us, you got 83 of them, and not a damn one of them protested, and you've got the experienced banking people of the whole government, and they're 100% against you. And then you all go to passing banking judgment. Hell, I bet you couldn't run the Johnson City Bank. I doubt that this Turner could. I doubt you've ever had any experience in it. Now, the 83 banks down there, and if they're going to be hurt in any way, any one of them could have written them a postcard letter. But the people that are charged with this, that had to look at it, the FDIC people, the control of the currency people, the treasury people, they all listened to it, heard it, and decided it. And then it got over there, and it's just one of these Bittman deals. It just got away from us. And I don't think it got away from us on the merits or on the facts, because you've got two banks in Dallas that are bigger. And it hadn't hurt Dallas a hell of a lot. And I don't know why how long you're going to make us go to New York, Chicago, to borrow our money to do our business down here. I think we're entitled to somebody that's big enough to meet our demands. I've had to move out of Austin. I moved to San Antonio in order to get enough to run our little business because we haven't got a bank big enough to lend it. They don't know a damn thing about our business. When they have to go, they have to come up there and look it over. They're 70 miles from there, all because some theorist has got an idea that somebody might get some size. Well, size sometimes may be justified. And I think you got a healthy situation in Dallas with your First National and your Republic.
Strong banks.
That's right, but we haven't got any down there. Houston man can't do it. He's got to go to the Continental and the Chicago or the Chase in New York. I had one come to my bedroom the other day. Said, I want to put up a 20 times the security. I'm willing to pay 8% interest. I want a 5-year loan. I can't get it in my town because they don't have the capital and Chase took me on 4 years ago, and now they've dropped me like a hot potato. Now, that's not right. And all my life, and my daddy's life, my grandpa's life, we've been resenting going to New York and having to borrow the money. But we're going to have to unless you let somebody out here grow some.
Well, we're coming up. It just takes a long time again. Well,
it wouldn't have taken near so damn long, though, if you'd let these two banks go together. You'd write immediately.
Well,
that's right. That's right. But you wouldn't have gone back. You'd have been going in the right direction, Ramsey.
We'd have had a bigger bank.
Yeah, that's right. You'd have had a more powerful bank. You'd have had a bank that could have handled more of their business there. Now, as it is, they farm it out. And they got to go to the stranger. And the John McCloys, who's here today, the Chase people, they say, okay, we'll take care of you. And they do. Until the first time you need them. And then, by God, they run like turkeys. Well, I don't know what to do on your procedural question. I feel that I read that memorandum. I don't want to ruin my throat on this damn merger, but I don't feel we're doing the right thing. And I think the government's wrong. I think I'm wrong. And if I'm impotent and can't help it, well, I just can't help it. But if it's the night before the merger and it's scheduled to come off 7 o'clock in the morning, I don't know why we ought to spring the trap, but if we have to, I guess we have to, but I just wish that we could get somebody that might not be, that might see the forest for the trees to look at this. I have to admit, I thought Nick was on the other side and that he felt that they did have an obligation. That's the way it was represented to me. Going to tell the court what you've done up to now?
We relate in the brief the history of the proceedings. We don't discuss that memo.
No, well, why don't you? If you're going to say that the law requires you come in there and represent the government's case, well, then I would sure say that the Attorney General wrote Mr. Sanders this memorandum, and here's what Mr. Katzenbach said. And the present position of the government is that we're not in a position to disagree with them. That's my view. Now, whatever you require me to do, I'm willing to do under the procedural aspects of it. But here's the position that Mr. Kennedy took. Here's the position Mr. Katzenbach took. And here's the position the president takes. I guess you can't have the president, but that's, I'm willing to say that.
The trouble with that is that what the record would then show that September 3rd and 4th, the memo and the letter were written in 1964. That in early 65, the hearing examiner made his report favoring the merger, and that from that time until September of 1966, was vigorously opposed the merger. Contrary to what this memo said.
Well, you tap wires up there for 2 years. I didn't know about it either, but by God, when I find out about it, I'd sure try to stop it, and I would at least, to the good Lord, when I walked in and say, well, you ignorant bastard, when you found out about it, you did what you could. They had the wool over your eyes for 2 years, but once you found out, you did it.
Well, we've just been working night and day on that thing. We find those, everybody can turn around. We're going to have a lot of cases involved in that.
I know that. Well, I've got, I damn near developed cancer of the throat trying to appeal to them not to, and order them not to, and tell them not to, but they're bigger than the president. That's my problem. That's what I'm talking about.
We'll have another one. We'll have to file in the Supreme Court next week.
I just, the quicker you get it in there, the better it suits me.
I agree.
And get it right up, and let's get this thing settled. And I see now that your damn crime commission is becoming an expert on it.
Well, I've been trying to get that off.
You better just tell Nick that I just think it's a damned outrage. I didn't appoint this crime commission.
I told him that a long time ago, Mr. President. Chester straight night before that meeting, and I went in there and had to argue all by myself. I had to talk out of it, so I had to catch a plane for Cincinnati, and they voted the next day after I was gone.
Well.